You're listening to an Aeon podcast.
Welcome to the 12th episode of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series. In this series, we've been talking to Jodi Gozard, formerly Jodi Chapman, a respected Australian naturopath, speaker, author and mentor, about her experience with the 7 steps to finding freedom from anxiety, depression and ADHD. In this episode, Jodi shares her knowledge of gene mutation combinations, the MTHFR gene, and what impacts having these gene mutations and combinations can have on our day-to-day lives. She also tells us how they can answer a lot of questions for us and offer a solution by way of treatment plans. Now, what our listeners wouldn't be aware of is since I met you, I've been tested for this gene, and it turns out I have a number of combinations that can cause various and sometimes quite serious symptoms. Mm. I therefore have a bit of a vested interest in this one. So what we've touched on with the MTHFR gene and mutations in just about every episode of this series is that it can be quite common.
Mm.
But please tell us more about it. What is MTHFR and what does it mean if we have it?
Sure. Well, I think I might have mentioned in a previous podcast that I was graced to be able to have been handed down these genes by my parents, one of each. Thank you very much, Mum and Dad, which actually shaped my life. So this is the thing, is that gene mutations you're born with, some people say that you can be carrying them and they're not switched on until you've been exposed to a certain situation. So you might have been stressed at some point. You might have it from just one parent or a combination where you have quite minimal combinations of them, where the amount of stress that you experienced did not trigger the gene to affect you. And how this works is that you've got a couple of different ways of presenting with these genes. So there's certain genes, there's mutations, there's hundreds of different types of gene mutations that someone could have. So they're called SNPs or polymorphisms, genetic polymorphisms. Now, the ones that I look at predominantly affect mental health and methylation, detoxification, because those things affect every system of the body. And it's funny because a lot of people don't really pay too much attention to the liver. And as you know from what we've talked about, environmental pollutants and toxins and chemicals and things we absorb will affect the liver. Our digestion requires the liver to be working at its optimal to do the right work, to, you know, to function properly. And our brain is so closely related to the liver. So things like anger and anxiety and all these different kinds of things, like you'll see in the Chinese energy cycle or energy charts and things, that the liver will start to become active between 1 and 3 in the morning, and one of the emotions that you feel is anger. So you see people, say for instance, who might drink a lot of alcohol, the next day their liver isn't coping very well and they will be angry as an alcohol withdrawal sign, and it'll be the liver under pressure. Now the liver, as I said, is one of the most compromised organs within the gene mutation issues when it comes to the MTHFR gene cycle, so methylation. MTHFR gene mutation means that you may have, from one parent, lost the ability to convert folate to its usable form in the body, methylfolate or folinic acid. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't have that gene to convert that nutrient, you can take as much of that nutrient as you like and you will still not get it to do its job. So in terms of pregnancy, they always recommend taking folic acid. But if it's given as folate or folic acid, it cannot convert over to methylfolate for people with the MTHFR gene.
Does that mean, so because they give it to you and they say that they give it to you to prevent
spina bifida.
Yes, spina bifida. So does that mean if your body can't absorb that,
mm-hmm.
that your child is more at risk?
Yes.
Wow.
Of spina bifida,
yes.
Neural pathway, production or nervous system creation.
That's huge.
It's huge. So this is a thing. But what if the baby that you're carrying also has the gene?
Mm.
Because it's getting the nutrients through your body. Now, it's not getting folate because you've got to convert it once you get it. But if you're not converting it, you know, you're just going to be deficient. Now, if you get The MTHFR gene from just one parent, it is considered heterozygous. You've got one SNP of it. And there are two types of the MTHFR gene mutation. One is called A1298C. And in my experience, it tends to have a bigger connection with mental health problems, such as bipolar disorder, paranoia, hallucination type problems. So it might tend towards schizophrenia, premenstrual dysmorphic disorder, which is really extreme anger or paranoia or hallucination for the week prior to period for some women. It's not very common, but it does happen. Any patient that I've had with PMDD that has come to my clinic, I have tested them for the gene mutation and found it in everyone. So there are two alleles. One is A1298C and it tends more towards the mental health hallucination type, paranoia. The other one is C677T, which I think is more common. That's the one I got from both of my parents. And it, when it's heterozygous, you lose 30% ability to absorb your folate. So you're still getting 70% of the folate from your food. And if you're eating plenty of fruit and vegetables, and you know, all of the dark green leafy vegetables that have foliage helps create folate, you'll still get plenty of folate to the point where possibly you may never know you've got the gene mutation if you've got it just from one parent. If you've got it from both parents, like in my case, you lose 70% ability to absorb your folate. You only then have 30%. Now, folate makes every brain chemical, well, not every brain chemical, makes serotonin and dopamine specifically, but it also has an impact on histamine, which is a brain chemical which we've touched on before. So histamine is like a bit of a mother brain neurotransmitter because it impacts your serotonin and dopamine. Even if you've got enough levels of serotonin and dopamine, it can impact whether it's high or low. High serotonin and high dopamine can tend towards hallucination, which is why if histamine is very low, you can end up with high serotonin and high dopamine in more bipolar risk patients. If histamine is very high, and that's your allergic type people, you can end up with very low serotonin and dopamine and anxiety and depression coming along with high histamine. So you do find a lot of people who get hives or allergies to the environment or asthma, eczema, dermatitis, any of these things that causes skin eruptions or reactions to high histamine foods, those people tend to be more anxious, more fatigued. Their system just doesn't work because they're not producing the energy because the folate is missing or the folate is too low in their system. In my case, I only absorbed 30% of my folate because I had the gene from both parents, and that caused me to have high histamine. So I was then highly allergic to the trees that I was exposed to in my childhood, highly allergic to food. So I had a really strong dairy intolerance, gluten intolerance. So I developed lots of food intolerances as well as environmental allergies. So I was chronically ill as a child. So I had migraines every day from swelling of the sinuses and from a drop in serotonin from eating foods I was intolerant to, which is why I had the chronic health problems, but I also suffered with anxiety.
And all of these things can be brought back to these genes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that I was also very sensitive, and the reason I was very sensitive was because I didn't absorb enough folate to make enough of my serotonin. So I would take things personally. I would feel like I couldn't make friends. I was very shy. I stayed away from people because I didn't know how I was being accepted. And this is all because I had low serotonin. So low serotonin causes low self-esteem. When you're young and you don't know any better, that's the default mechanism. It's not until you grow up and you realize, hang on a sec, that's not who I am. And people aren't thinking those things about me. And, you know, you can relearn to not believe those thoughts, but those thoughts come from a biochemical response to not having enough brain neurotransmitters. So yeah, it produces your brain neurotransmitters or it doesn't produce your brain neurotransmitters. So all of your mental health problems, if you have more of the A1298C, more hallucination, more paranoia, more misinterpreting what people say, C677 side of it, more inability to detoxify, so your body gets clogged up with high histamine and high other products, it makes you more environmentally reactive or food reactive, and that then causes neurotransmitter lows, so then more depression, anxiety. However, in saying that, the MTHFR gene mutation combinations will cause depression and anxiety at either end of the spectrum, but you'll get more really serious thoughts of death, thoughts of not worthlessness, etc., when your histamine levels are incredibly low, because it's a brain neurotransmitter, as opposed to those with really high histamine, which is your allergy type. You know, so you can see those people who grow up completely unmotivated, absolutely no energy, not focused, unable to complete things in their lives, and always trying to drag themselves through life with this terrible type of depression. But it's been since childhood and no one knew why. And it wasn't the way they were raised. They might be like that and their siblings weren't. Their parents might have been very loving and trying to help them and support them along the way. I meet parents like this all the time, whose little children at 5 years old, 6 years old, seven, eight are saying the scariest things, and they don't know where it's coming from. And then when you do their testing, you find that their histamine is rock bottom and they just don't have that brain neurotransmitter in that level that they need. So there's an extension to that where histamine controls your stomach acid production, which is why then you might also develop allergies, but you also might produce problems with stomach acid in terms of reflux, so heartburn. So you get those people who've had chronic reflux from when they were young or in their mid-20s when they started to eat really badly, or, you know, and then they end up on PPI type medication, which tries to correct this problem. But what that medication then does is blocks your ability to absorb proteins and fats, and it only allows carbohydrate metabolism. And then you end up with gaining weight, insulin type problems, diabetes type problems, and, you know, sugar highs and lows in your brain, and not enough brain chemical production, because all those proteins help make all of your brain chemicals because they're amino acids. So yeah, the treatment for the condition, I often see patients come in to me who've had quite severe psychological disorders all of their life. They might be cutting, they might be self-sabotaging, they might be self-harming in different ways, but you ask them about their digestion and yeah, they've had heartburn as long as they remember. Mm. You know, and the link to all of it is, it just connects the dots. So that's the MTHFR. There's a number of different combinations, as we mentioned. The MTHFR also, for some families, leads to heart disease or sudden heart events. In my family, this was the case. So my mother passed away at 48 years old from a sudden heart aneurysm. Her father died of, so my grandfather died of a blood clot in his leg after hip surgery while he was running on a treadmill, or after running on a treadmill. So fit, wonderful, and then, you know, instantly a blood clotting problem. His wife, my grandmother, had a stroke that, I think the second stroke, she lived to a quite old age, which was lovely, but she did have previous problems with blood clotting and strokes, TIAs, for the last 20 years of her life. And then my uncle, her son, my mother's brother, also has just recently had a stroke.
Oh my goodness.
So it is something that when it's in your family, it's a blood clotting condition if you've got a certain combination. So I have that combination. One of my children I know has that combination. And for us, it's very, very important that we take our converted version of folate, the version that we don't need the gene to be able to absorb it. So we've got to bypass any product that contains folate or folic acid and go straight to methylfolate or folinic acid.
Right.
So that's just the folate component. There's the MTR gene, which has a link with B12 issues. You've got the MTRR gene. If that's positive in combination with an MTHFR gene, you've got the same risk of heart disease or premature cardiovascular illnesses going on, because you don't methylate your homocysteine properly, and that's how it affects cardiovascular. So if your homocysteine rises, it's a trigger for a heart event, and it's because your detox cycle is blocked and homocysteine is part of your detox cycle. So people with brain hemorrhages, people with sudden strokes, people with aneurysms, people with blood clots, any of these things, you want to be checking to see if you've got those genes, because as soon as you know, you can bypass the gene and get the right nutrient in the level that you require to prevent these things from happening and stopping your homocysteine from rising in the first place.
Yeah, right.
You know, so that's the MTHFR liver problems, not being able to detoxify properly, then we talked about environmental pollutants and high estrogen and things like this. Those toxins rise in your body. Copper rises in your body, causing panic disorders because you can't detox at the speed that other people can. Your estrogen rises, causing hormonal problems. Your histamine rises, causing allergy problems. So think of any environmental pollutant. Those people with the gene mutations are much more likely to suffer the consequences of those than someone who doesn't have any gene mutations. They absorb all their vitamins from their food quite easily. They're the people that get through life and can eat anything. They're never sick. They never have anything go wrong. They've got a cast iron gut. You know, they're fine.
I used to have a cast iron gut. I don't know what happened.
Well, it could be, you know, one exposure to bacteria can upset your stomach acid, but gene mutations mean that you'll have difficulty one period of stress in your life, which will deplete the amount of folate that you may have at that current time. That's the trigger. If you don't replenish that methylfolate and bypass that gene, you will then start to experience from that day on problems with your methylation cycle, your digestive cycle, et cetera. So from then on, your stomach acid might be low. When your stomach acid is then low, you're then more exposed to bacteria because it survives the stomach acid, colonizes the gut. And then you've got digestive problems and mood problems coming from that problem. And then you develop food allergies from not having enough stomach acid. It's a domino effect. And that's why it's so important that we start with the genes and then we go through all of its consequences and getting rid of food allergies, getting rid of bacterial problems, boosting all the nutrients back and bypassing the genes and then restoring brainwave patterns and getting everything back to the way they should have been had everything been right in the first place.
Those magical unicorn people who have no gene mutations.
Exactly.
How often do you actually come across those people?
Well, hardly ever because they're too well to come to me.
Come here, well, that's right.
Yeah, I have had people who've read about it and who just want to know, guaranteed every time it comes back negative. But most of the people, I don't ask for the tests unless I suspect someone has it. So I don't think I've ever seen a negative, a 100% negative one, except for someone who was testing because someone else in the family had it.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, in terms of that methylation cycle, we can do advanced gene panels where the MTHFR gene is tested, the MTR gene is tested, the MTRR gene is tested, the AHCY gene is associated with not being able to absorb niacin or B3. And that's another link in where you could be blocked in your liver cycle and can cause all sorts of other problems. And then there's the COMT gene mutation, which means you won't absorb molybdenum and manganese very well. So then you won't detoxify environmental pollutants. So, you know, you'll be exposed to chemicals. And me, for instance, I have the COMT gene mutation, so I don't break down sulfites. So I have a very high sensitivity to anything that contains sulfites, like in wine or seafood or preserved fruit or any of these things that they use.
So do you avoid them completely, out of curiosity?
Yes. In my case, even taking the nutrients isn't enough to stop a reaction. Migraines are my first response, so I'll develop a migraine within 10 minutes of being exposed to sulfite. So I'll know very quickly if I've had something that's got something in there. If there's red wine in the sauce at a restaurant, before I leave the restaurant, I know that I'm not feeling well. I'll feel quite sick. I'll start to get a headache.
So even in that small dose?
Oh, yes. Wow. Yes, that small dose for some people. Yeah, so that's the methylation cycle genes, okay? There's, as I said, there's hundreds of gene mutations that we can have that cause different diseases. But the methylation cycle genes can be checked. There's quite a number more of them, but it just depends on what labs are doing the testing and how many they're testing. The other gene mutation that I look at very seriously is pyroluria. Now, I don't see it in as many patients, but it does cause, it's very obvious when someone has it because they often experience irrational fears. So these are the people that will grow up afraid of public speaking. I mean, that's a lot of people anyway, but, you know, afraid of attention, afraid of heights, afraid of water, afraid of sharks, afraid of, oh my God, I'm describing me. I haven't been tested for it, but I can absolutely guarantee you that I am on the cusp of that. It's one of those ones that means, pyroluria means you don't absorb zinc and B6 properly. Okay, different to folate.
Was that on my test out of curiosity?
Well, that one we didn't do.
No, yeah. You might have to do that one, I think.
Yes. So we did talk about that earlier and I was thinking, maybe. Mm-hmm. But low zinc signs are typically the white spots on your nails. And you may not get it all the time, but you'll get it during times of illness when you're fighting something or when you're highly stressed.
Yeah, I used to get them when I was little.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's one there.
There you go.
But my mother always said it was calcium.
No, it's zinc.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so calcium deficiency causes weak nails. Mm. Yeah, and iron deficiency causes little pitting. So each different nutrient you can pick up in your nails is a deficiency. But I find most pyro patients have these white spots anytime they're under pressure, anytime their immune system is compromised, their zinc will plummet. Mm-hmm. Now, it will affect everything because zinc and B6 is required for every brain neurotransmitter. So it also is required for stomach acid again, which means that you'll develop much more food allergies, much more bacterial infections. You'll go to from 0 to 100 in terms of your stress levels if you're exposed to stress, and you won't be able to control it when you don't have enough nutrients. So those people have the meltdowns. They're the kids that can't tolerate the environment around them, you know, loud noises, sound sensitive, light sensitive, odor sensitive. You see those people who they can smell everything and everything smells offensive to them. Period problems, period cramps, sexual dysfunction in men, erectile dysfunction, libido problems. Acne is a huge one because acne is a massive zinc deficiency. And when you've got problems with your zinc production, then, or your zinc absorption, you'll find adult acne in patients with pyroluria. And you know, you talk to them about their life and they're the introverted types. They want to, you know, stay away from the stress and anything. I had a lovely 35-year-old woman I was treating for adult acne. And she didn't think she was stressed. She was in a relationship, a lovely relationship, very happy. Her partner was wonderful. He would come to the appointments with her. He was as supportive as you could be. And I'd been treating her for quite some time and she would get better and then she'd get worse and she'd get better and we'd go, you know, what's going on? Why can we not stabilize this? We'd give her the right doses of zinc and B6 and everything would go well. And then one day I thought, hang on a minute, what's going on in your life right now? And of course, every time I'd talk to them about their lifestyle, she was, no, everything's fine, everything's fine. And something she said clicked with something that I felt over my life at different times. If I don't get downtime days to myself with no stimulation, no one asking me questions, no one that I have to, you know, when you have children, you're always talking to them, you never get that breathing space to just think on your own. And I realized that I would get quite overwhelmed if I never had that downtime. And I said to her, do you ever get a day to just stay in your pajamas and do nothing and stay home and not have to get ready to go somewhere?
Mental health day.
Yeah, mental health day. Anyway, she said, no, because my partner's very social and I work all week, and she was running a couple of businesses and she's very entrepreneurial, and you find that these people tend to be really highly driven, same as the MTHFR personalities, very highly driven people. But then on the weekends, her partner would arrange meeting friends here and there, and she never had a day where she didn't have to be somewhere. And when I got further into that, she was getting anxiety from it and didn't recognize it as a problem. And I talked to her about that and she went, okay, I'm going to change a few things. And she started to arrange days, blocks where she didn't have to go anywhere. There wasn't that feeling of having to be somewhere, having to go somewhere. It changed everything. All of a sudden everything started to work. So even the subconscious stresses that we put on ourselves because we don't realize that we're conforming to social expectations, we don't realize we're having fun when we're there, but for whatever reason we feel we've got anxiety prior to going. Oh, we had a little chat about that
we did
too,
have a discussion,
didn't we?
About that one,
yes. Yeah, so that's pyroluria, inability to absorb zinc and B6. You can do a test on that which shows how much pyrrole you're producing. So pyroluria is in the process of making your blood. Your spleen will make a product called a cryptopyrrol, and about 40-50% of the population do this. Mm. If you only make a little bit of pyrroles, pyrroles bind to zinc and B6, mm. and once it's bound to it, you can't utilize those and you lose it through your urine.
Right.
Now, if you have a huge amount of pyrroles being made at any given time, you use up all the zinc and B6 in your system, and that's where you see really highly sensitive people and autistic people. So can't deal with any stimulation, no eye contact, really high-functioning individuals, incredibly intelligent, but you see all the autistic traits. And those are the guys that when I do their testing, I see their cryptopyrals are off the charts. So if you've got an autistic child or you've been autistic and you know it's something that you want to manage better, you can be treating that for 3 to 6 months and start to see significant improvements as soon as you start to replenish those nutrients. And if you can satisfy the cryptopyrroles that you're going to produce every day, you just need to have a dose of B6 and zinc that's higher than the amount of cryptopyrroles you produce. And you need to then stay on that for life if you've got that condition to match the amount of pyrroles you make. So in terms of the MTHFR gene, that's a folate based or B12, or, you know, zinc is part of that, B6 is part of that, B3 is part of that, but pyrrole is zinc and B6 combination. So that, yeah, as I said, these gene mutations affect nutrients, and those nutrients all have common functions in the body. So you can see crossovers of the same conditions. If you can imagine, people with pyroluria have these massive fears, irrational fears. They don't have enough zinc to compete with the copper that we talked about.
Yeah.
And so copper in them, if they're rising, they've got no zinc to compete with it, so they get panic and anxiety disorders. Mm. The MTHFR gene mutation means you can't excrete copper properly, so you might be getting enough zinc, but the copper rises well above what it should. And you get the exact same symptom of high panic disorders. The copper problem in the MTHFR gene mutation affects postnatal depression, because women hold or produce more copper or hold more copper during pregnancy, and in the first few days after pregnancy that copper is supposed to drop off and detox rapidly. But for those women who can't detoxify copper properly because they've got the gene mutations, they end up with the copper staying high when they haven't got the hormones to deal with that anymore. And then that depletes their zinc immediately, and they suffer with immediate, sometimes really severely psychotic depression. And sometimes the type of depression that just causes, you know, this lack of bonding with the baby and this inability to come out of it for months and months and months and months while the body takes time to clear out that copper. Where if they knew better, they could clear out the copper within weeks, take the nutrients that build their brain chemicals back up and be over it very quickly. Just a lack of understanding or knowledge through the environment or through the system, I guess. So, yes, we have talked about it. In your case as well, based on all of these, you know, topics we've been covering, and it did spark your interest in what was going on for you.
Yeah, so I was suffering from what they call focal migraines, and the focal migraine, but I would often have it without any headache symptoms. And then as a result of the focal migraine, which is literally I would get kaleidoscope vision, and then I knew that something was coming. But sometimes I wouldn't even feel a headache necessarily. That I'd hear an echo within my ears, the room would get bigger all of a sudden, and then I'd experience stroke symptoms. Mm. And in one case, I was 39 weeks pregnant and was taken by ambulance and I had a full neurological episode where I couldn't speak.
Wow.
Which is really scary. And at that stage, you know, you're more scared for the baby than you are for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But and they were too. Obviously, they were worried. I'd never had a regular heart issues and that my heart was going crazy.
Mm.
And then after it all calmed down, the head stroke doctor at the hospital, so they came down and said, you've just got a headache.
Wow.
And that was kind of it.
Yeah.
And see you later. Off you go. I did go and have an MRI the next day, but they couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
And then that's since we've been doing this podcast, we've been having lots of discussions off air and on air, which prompted me to have that MTHFR test.
Mm.
And funnily enough, there it is.
Yes, there it is. So are you happy for us to talk about?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, so it's great to be able to talk about what someone's experienced and then see it in black and white. So in your case, you have the MTHFR gene mutation in the C677T allele, which is heterozygous, so you only got it from one parent, which means you lose the ability to absorb folate by 30 to 40%, which is one of the better ones. It's a lower one. So you might have gone through most of your life and never known that you had it.
Mm.
And the reason that we brought it up and talked about it was because of the stroke symptoms that you talked about had me thinking, okay, maybe it's worth checking out, because if that gene mutation was homozygous, if you had two of those, one from your mum and one from your dad, you would be at risk of that raising the levels of homocysteine, which is part of your detox cycle. But homocysteine is one of those products that they test, which is a precursor to stroke or heart attack or brain aneurysms or heart aneurysms or brain hemorrhages and these kinds of things, deep vein thrombosis or blood clots. So understanding your genes and whether that was part of what you'd experienced and why it was happening to you, I think is really important, because if you are, you know, getting close to 40 or older, you may not get a second chance when that event does happen. Mm-hmm. And that's my family history. So that's why I always mention it when I have heard of someone in my life, anywhere in my life, has experienced this kind of thing. Now, you don't have it homozygous in that section that would cause an increase in homocysteine. So that rules out your risk of cardiovascular events from just that gene. Mm-hmm. But luckily, we did a full panel of genes, because there's another way that this could cause those kinds of problems, and that is if the MTHFR gene is positive to C677 just from one parent, but if you then also have one parent positive to the MTRR gene mutation combined, which is that A66G gene, that then does cause an increased risk of high homocysteine and creates that cardiovascular risk, which confirms for me that that is very likely the reason why you've experienced those things.
Yeah, right. And that was a frustration for me. Obviously, I have a good relationship with my GP, so I'm not going to, but I found within that sector, so I guess the hospitals and whatnot, I wasn't getting any follow-up. Mm. Everybody was saying, yeah, it's happening, that's what happens to you, but nobody was kind of looking into why.
Yes.
And so it's fascinating, and so it's such a relief.
Yes, to know.
To know, yeah.
Yeah,
and absolutely. To know that there's something that I can do to make that less of a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I have a very dear friend who had in the past had a brain hemorrhage. Perfectly healthy, you know, fit and healthy in his 40s, I think, at the time, possibly early 40s or late 30s. And when this happened, no pre-warning, no nothing, lucky to have survived.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about it is the MTHFR gene, as I mentioned before, comes with a set of personality traits. Mm-hmm. So you can either be really highly driven and highly motivated and type A personality, and those of us who are like that, i.e. me, we can burn out. So adrenal fatigue is something we end up experiencing at least once in our lives, because we are so highly driven, we don't sit still. We can be hyper-focused and get everything done and be, you know, achieve a great deal of things, but we burn out doing it. And part of the reason we burn out is because we don't absorb the folate that other people do. And if we don't know it, we're not taking that folate, and that's part of our energy production cycle. So we're fueled less and doing more, because that's what our personality trait makes us do. So we're high achievers, we're perfectionists, and, you know, we're highly driven. So we never stop, and we often never sleep. And then you've got the opposite side of the coin where you've, and it depends on whether you're high histamine or low histamine, where you can barely get out of bed. You might be highly intelligent, but you feel very unmotivated. You can never find a goal. You never find a passion in your life, and you really don't see the point of moving towards different things. And those are the types of people who can also have that sense of suicidal lack of purpose, lack of drive, but also lack of joy. So it comes with personality. And when you see the stroke or the cardiovascular risk happening to people who are high achievers, it's really interesting. It happened to my mother, no notice. 5 seconds later, heart aneurysm, no notice, you know, so, and quite young. So it's something that if you get an idea, okay, I can see my personality type and I can see I've got these other health issues, but I'm driven towards this way, you can predict pretty easily. And this friend that I was mentioning that had this brain aneurysm, very high achiever, very, very much a perfectionist in everything that he did. You know, everything crossed his T's, dotted his I's, was fantastic at his job, was really high level in his company because he was such a focused and well-functioning person. And seeing his personality type and that he'd had the brain aneurysm or brain hemorrhage earlier, and I'm thinking, yeah, I think this is a gene issue going on. And he was just told to exercise and eat well, and there's nothing else he could do. He then was left with the same feeling of, what? I don't know if it's going to happen again. I've got no protection. I can't actively do something. I feel like I have no control. And it's an awful feeling to walk away not knowing that you've got control over the situation. Anyway, by the time I'd met him and we had, and I'm watching his personality and I'm watching him go through a period of stress and the way that he was coping with that. And I said, you know, I'd really like to test you for this. And he was a family friend. So it was just something that I had to raise with him because I saw it and hope that he was interested. And sure enough, we did the testing and his homocysteine at the time was through the roof. Mm. And he was a sitting duck at that moment. Mm. And once I saw the homocysteine, I went through and did the gene test. And sure enough, he was positive to all of the ones that could have caused the original brain hemorrhage. We had him on nutrients that got that methylation cycle clearing, which then allowed the homocysteine to move over to its next cycle or next part of the cycle, which brought it down, which then took him out of that risk. And now he just stays on those nutrients to keep himself protected. So, you know, there are things that you can do. It does affect many people in many different ways. It's recognizing that there's a personality trigger, there's a stress trigger, and there's a lot of health problems that can come about that seem to be those kind of vague things where no one can put their finger on it, and they cause lifelong problems, and they do change our brain wave patterns in the long run. Mm. OCD, high anxiety, oppositional disorder, mm, addictive disorders, paranoia, psychosis, PMS. The list is long for what these genes can do. So recognizing that this didn't happen for no reason. You weren't just unlucky. Mm. You were born with a gene, and yeah, that might be unlucky, but it, you know, basically happened because it's all through your family. Mm. And you can do something about it. That's the most important thing. Once you start treating that and supporting that missing nutrient, you can then go through and correct all the things that the gene has caused. And once those problems are resolved, as long as you keep looking after that missing nutrient, you will then not create those problems again. Your energy will be good. You won't develop more food allergies. You'll stay protected from bacteria. And then if you've produced personality traits that are really compromising for your life, you can then use a neurotherapy to retrain those out and be more content, be more calm, be more happy, be more driven, be more focused. Whatever it is that you're lacking, you can then work towards correcting that. So, you know, that's why we look at the whole process from the beginning, the genes, the nutrients that are missing, the effects of that, the allergies that develop, the bacteria that comes about, and the brainwave patterns that then change.
Well, I'll personally be starting my treatment and continuing that investigative process with you, Jodie. And I look forward to seeing the difference and the impact it's going to have on my everyday. I really do.
This has been our 12th episode of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series. If you've missed out on any of our previous episodes, I encourage you to go back and have a listen, as Jodie's mind is a library of information and her thoughts are really valuable and relevant to this topic. If while listening you've heard something that's piqued your interest and have an urge to reach out to Jodie, you can contact her via the clinic at advancewellness.com.au. And finally, if you're experiencing a personal crisis or are having dark thoughts, please reach out to one of the many services available, such as Lifeline. Lifeline's phone number is 131114. This has been our 12th episode of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series. If you've missed out on any of our previous episodes, I encourage you to go back and have a listen, as Jodie's mind is a library of information and her thoughts are really so valuable and relevant to this topic.